kinds of injuries have you seen?
I've seen knee injuries, I've seen shoulder injuries, I've seen people pull things out and cut themselves.
Why do you think so many people are getting hurt?
Because they have to meet their quota.
That's Christina Van Voorst. She's a worker at an Amazon warehouse in Eastvale here in Southern California. Black Friday and Cyber Monday are the busiest days of the year for Amazon. This year, Prime members are being promised free one-day delivery. That speed comes at a cost for the workers at Amazon warehouses and for the people living near those warehouses. Serious injury rates are more than double the national average for warehouse workers. And that's according to a new investigation by the Center for Investigative Reporting, in which they document some harrowing stories from workers like Christina trying to fulfill orders at breakneck speeds. Amazon is also responsible for increased air pollution from airplanes and trucks delivering all these products we order. And that's according to the nonprofit Economic Roundtable, which also has a new critical report out on Amazon. We're going to talk about this now with Daniel Flaming from the Roundtable and Will Evans from the Center for Investigative Reporting. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Madeline.
Thanks for having us on.
All right. Well, let's begin with another worker that you interviewed. This is Candace Dixon. She works at Eastvale in that factory. Tell us about her.
Yeah, she doesn't work there anymore. She started last year and as a stower, putting away items in these tall stacks, and she would be responsible for putting a new consumer product away every 11 seconds. That's, you know, more than 300 an hour and for an entire shift. And she knew, like everyone else, that if you don't hit your rate, you get written up and you can get fired. And within 2 months, she had basically destroyed her back. You know, you have to squat down for the heavy items and then pop back up the next thing. And she had an entire shift of heavy things that she had to put in and ended up with severe back pain, diagnosed sprain and some bulging discs, and is basically off work, can't find work, in constant pain, has a hard time even climbing stairs and doing basic things, and isn't sure what she's going to do. And then, meanwhile, she's replaced by someone else who can do it.
Right. And so did she get any kind of compensation from Amazon?
Yeah, she got a workers' comp settlement that she says is running out. It lasted her several months, and it's coming to an end, and she's not sure how she can pay her mortgage. So there's a lot of people like that who are kind of in this lasting pain and talk about how they, you know, even some people who enjoyed the pace of it all in the moment, and then as soon as their bodies broke down, they describe sort of being tossed away.
Wow. And so, Daniel, just taking a step back and looking at sort of the bigger societal costs that you document in your report, that a lot of these workers do rely on public assistance in some form because they're not being paid that much and they might need some extra help once they get injured.
We found that over 60% are getting some kind of public assistance. The biggest piece of it is for publicly subsidized health insurance, which is the primary health care provider for line workers. And then there's also frequent use of food stamps, some people getting cash welfare. So the social safety net is picking up about 24 cents for every dollar that Amazon pays workers.
What is the average pay for a warehouse worker?
Well, our data is from 2017, and what we were seeing was around $20,000 a year for line workers. It's minimum wage and living wage for San Bernardino and Riverside counties is a little over $37,000 a year. So even if you're putting in a lot of overtime, you're not making enough money to meet the basic costs for yourself and your family.
And so, Will, this pace of work, which is what ruined Candace Dixon's back, she's working so fast. Tell us exactly how that works, because her livelihood and all the warehouse workers' livelihood, they're dependent on how fast they fulfill these orders.
Yeah, they're tracked down to the second, everything they do. They're scanning items, you know, picking customer orders or putting them away or packing them. And every time they scan something, you know, it feeds into a computer system that tracks it and compares it to each other and compares it to these expectations. And if you don't meet 100% of that expectation, you can be written up. And enough, and if you get a bunch of write-ups, then you're fired. So I talked to a guy who had hit 98% of his expectation, and that was his final write-up before termination. So they're really aggressive about holding workers to this pace. And the workers are afraid of losing their jobs. And so many of them talk about, you know, basically being willing to sacrifice their bodies to hit that pace, doing things maybe unsafely or, you know, not going to the bathroom, you know, for example, just to make sure that they're hitting that pace. And, you know, I talked to an industry expert who said that, you know, Amazon's known for it being especially aggressive, more aggressive than any of the industry players in what they expect from the workers. So in Candace Dixon's warehouse, her injury was one of more than 400 last year.
Oh, wow. So more than one a day.
Yeah, and it works out to a rate, if you look at the serious injury rate there, more than four times the industry average.
And so this is all attributable to their promise to give you this really fast delivery if you're a customer?
I don't think you can say it's all attributable to one factor, but I heard again and again, including from former safety managers, former Amazon safety managers said, look, it's linked to these what we're demanding of the workers and the speed, and we're asking unreasonable production quotas of them, and it's getting faster and faster. And so in warehouses like the one in Eastvale, they have robots, and the robots make everything more efficient, but it also means that the workers have to work faster and to keep up. And so their demands for their production quotas are higher. And so the workers are basically being worn down. And I heard that again and again, both from workers and these former Amazon safety managers.
Well, I guess, you know, from a customer's point of view, I think most customers would be willing to wait an extra day if they knew that the workers were safer, right?
I don't know. I mean, Amazon's going the other way, right? It's saying customers want one-day shipping instead of two-day. So that's the new thing. And Jeff Bezos, you know, said, you know, customers are delighted that we've moved to one-day shipping. So that's what Amazon is saying. I mean, you know, I talked to people who worked in these places and said, yeah, they feel guilty ordering because they know what it takes to get that order to them.
Yeah. So I guess most customers don't know what's happening.
I think that's true. I mean, I certainly didn't know till I started looking into this. And, you know, now I think about it all the time. You know, when you can actually see the warehouse code on your package and know where it's coming from, and you can look up, we have created a map where you can look up the injury rate at that warehouse, so you can actually know, you know, how dangerous is the warehouse that delivered your package.
Daniel, your report also includes some other costs that Amazon is visiting upon our region in terms of the environment. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, the biggest costs are from trucking, and those break out into a couple of pieces. A big piece of trucking cost is increased accidents. There's also uncompensated road wear. There's just a lot of trucking activity to and from warehouses. There's greenhouse gas emissions from the trucks. There's NOx emissions that make smog. There's particulate matter from the diesel engines, which is really bad for the health of folks along the corridor, freeway corridors. And then the cargo planes, there are three airports in the Inland Empire and something in the order of about 20 flights a day. So the carbon footprint from those airplane flights is also very large. So there's global warming, there's health issues along the freeway corridor, and our roads are getting worse because of the truck traffic.
And what does Amazon say to all of this?
Well, we sent them an advance copy of the report. They haven't offered any comments. I think they're silent. And our objective is to, for a full public balance sheet to be available and to have transparency and To assess these risks, most of the communities where warehouses are located have given subsidies to Amazon to build those warehouses. They've discounted development fees, sometimes provided land. And we need to have our eyes open. And Amazon is not a threadbare company. They had nearly $11 billion in profit last year, and they can afford to pay their costs to society. They can afford to pay workers. They can afford to maintain the infrastructure, and certainly to avoid the kind of injuries that Will is describing.
And I believe zero in federal taxes. They paid zero, right?
Very little. Over the past decade, they've paid about a little less than 3% of their profit in federal taxes. So number of years, last year and the year before, none. Years before that, a little bit.
So, Will, what did Amazon say to you about you about your reporting? What was their response?
So they wouldn't do an interview with us, but they said that the reason you're seeing high injury rates is that other companies underreport their injuries, but Amazon is really good at diligently recording all of their injuries and holding people off work until they're ready. You know, and even if that were true, and I think there's a lot of workers who would differ, you still have a lot of injuries. Even if you're doing a great job counting your injuries, you still have a ton of injuries. And those are injury rates that the former head of OSHA said are unacceptably alarmingly high.
Well, speaking of OSHA, what is OSHA doing about all this?
So OSHA doesn't speak directly about companies like this, but it's interesting you ask, because we found one case in Indiana where a worker died, was crushed by a forklift, and OSHA went in, found some serious safety violations. But at the same time, Indiana officials were vying for Amazon's second headquarters. And the OSHA inspector who I talked to, the former OSHA inspector who I talked to, said that he was basically told to back off that case because Indiana wanted Amazon to bring its second headquarters to the state. And in the end, they deleted all of those safety violations.
Okay, so as we enter the holiday shopping season, you know, Black Friday is a couple days away from today, what should people do who now know what you've reported, both of you? What do you think the average person should do about this?
I think that, you know, I can't answer that. That's a personal decision for everyone. I think it's important to realize what's behind that box that ends up on your doorstep and everything that goes into it. Amazon believes that customers want and demand ever, you know, faster shipping and delivery. And if that's not true, then I suppose customers should let Amazon know.
Daniel?
Amazon puts a multi-billion dollar value on goodwill, public goodwill, in its balance sheet and its annual report. And so I think one of the things we can do is let Amazon know that we want it to be a good corporate citizen. They monitor their public relations email very closely. That email address is pr@amazon.com. And I think one of the things we can do as consumers and citizens is to let Amazon know that we expect it to step up and pay its costs in the community and to take decent care of its workers.
Dan Fleming, president of the Economic Roundtable, and Will Evans, reporter with the Center for Investigative Reporting. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Madeline.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, how to help the homeless, not just tomorrow, but all year long. That's next on Press Play.